is worthy to be praised. The Lord tonight. Nothing shall be impossible with God tonight. I want you to lift your hand right now and tell the Lord in secrecy, just you and God talking right now, what you want God to do. Don't tell anyone else. This is silent moment. You may want to whisper to God, but when no one else is really concerned in the matter, you're going to tell God in secrecy, in a closet of a moment of prayer right now. Jesus, this is what I need. This is what I need. Hallelujah. And so it is, before there is a great storm, there comes a certain silence and a stillness. And a quietness. Hallelujah. Right in the midst of the eye of a great hurricane, while on the outside the whirling winds are devastating and crumbling buildings, right in the very middle is peace. Silence. Hallelujah. That's where I want to be tonight. I asked the Lord one afternoon, I said, God, why the earthquake, the wind, and the fire for Elijah when he found you in the still small voice, in the silence? And the Lord just kind of hinted to me a bit that sometimes it takes the earthquake, the wind, and the fire to get our attention so that we can hear the still small voice of God. Sometimes it takes the drastic things, the extreme, or the extremities of the Spirit in order for us to get down to the depth of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I've got a message that is burning on my heart tonight, that is fresh from the prayer room, and I want to minister to you with it tonight. It may be a little different tonight, but I think that this service will be a great setup for this weekend. And I'm not saying that we're not going to see great things. I'm just saying that there are going to be some different things happen tonight. And I feel such a beautiful presence of the Lord this year. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands one more time with me? Yes, Lord. Even now, as you're praying to the Lord, I can feel the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, and then I'll be reading from Judges chapter 14. Matthew chapter... excuse me. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. I'll begin reading. You can pick up when you find it. And while he had spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. This is the verse I want you to pay attention to. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Brother Rutledge, you know what inspired me before service when I read this Scripture? Do you realize what Jesus was saying right there in that verse? He could have prayed in that moment with one spoken word. He could have unleashed all of the power of heaven and set up His kingdom right then. With one spoken word. Just one. That's all He had to do. The cross was not born from a Messiah who stood on a hill and shouted and said, I'm fixing to die. I'm fixing to be the sacrifice for all of humanity. The cross was born in this very moment of silence. I want to preach to you tonight the substance of silence. The substance of silence. As you lift your hands, I want to ask Brother Shirdy if he'd pray tonight. Praise the Lord. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to tell somebody here tonight, things may have been kind of dead for you lately, and it may have been silent for you lately, but I just believe that there is a great storm of revival and miracle that's coming for you personally, individually, not just collectively, not just as a congregation, but for every individual person here tonight. Glory to God. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise once again. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. May be seated. It is so amazing to look at the Scripture tonight and to find a Messiah that stood in the midst of the Garden of Gethsemane, talking about a God, the expression of God, that was manifest in flesh. The God who spanned the stars in the universe, laid the foundations of the universe deep down upon nothing, and wreathed it with constellations of worlds, and propped it against the throne of God. I'm talking about the Messiah, the God in flesh, the Creator with a face, that stood in the midst of the garden. He was the one who spanned the speckled stars against the black velvet of the night. He is the one who hurled the erratic comet along the altars of the blackness of space to kindle this light where the sun would never shine. I'm talking about that Messiah that stood there in the midst of a garden, holding all of the power of the Word of God, not just on earth, but in all of the universe, in every inch of every space, everywhere. He was omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful. He was all-wonderful. There was nothing in His capability that was short of the miraculous or of the supernatural. But here He is. As He zips His lip in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there the soldiers are. They're from the priest. They've come out with their swords and their staves. They've come out with their lanterns in the shadows of the night. And Judas has given Him the kiss of betrayal. And Jesus could right then, as He looked at Peter and said, put your sword up. Don't you know that right now I could pray and all of heaven could baptize this earth with a shaking power that it's never beheld before? But for some reason, Messiah kept silent. He didn't pray. The miracle of the cross was born out of the fact that He did not pray. Because somehow he went back to the beginning of time and he realized that all of those stars and the suns and the planets and their course and the trees and the flowers in the field and the budding of the fruit on the limbs of the tree and all of the animals that scattered through the forest and all of the shuffling of the feet of men across the sands and deserts of time, he realized that not even that was created by just a spoken word. If you'll look in your Bible in Proverbs chapter 8, the Scripture says that wisdom was laid before the foundation of the world. God in His foreknowledge and in His thoughts formulated the plan, and the substance of His silence was the spoken word that brought the product. What I'm trying to tell somebody here tonight is that it's not always so smart or wise to speak too quickly or to lash out too quickly or to try to respond to your suffering and trial too quickly. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that if you hold your peace and keep silent just a little bit longer, there is a word that's coming from God that's going to bring the power and the majesty and the glory of the cross. Hallelujah. Yes, you've got strength. Yes, you've got a voice with which to speak very loudly your opinion. Yes, you've got knowledge within yourself to defend your position as a saint of God and a child of God. But I want to tell you tonight, there's some times when you need to stand in the face of your enemy and just zip your lip. Don't say a word. Don't let the enemy know how you feel. Don't let the enemy see your discouragement. Just keep silent. Because there's some substance that's going to be formed in this heart. There's going to be some character molded in your system. If you'll just wait and be patient just a little while, the Word of God will come. And the Word of God will perform. But God said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." It's not yours. It's not mine. We must keep silent. Don't be critical. Don't be quick to backbite. Don't be quick to ostracize. Don't be quick to just defend yourself. Because it's not your kingdom you're defending. It's God. And if anybody's good at defending the kingdom of God, it's His Word. I'm preaching to a church that the devil has stood and tried to alter the course of great revival. I'm preaching to you tonight. Don't say a word. Because your God's fixing to come through for you. There have been times in school when that boy sitting across the room would just keep picking at me and keep trying to pick a fight with me for me to retaliate and just punch him square in the lip. And boy, I wanted to. Oh, I wanted to. And that's exactly how some of you feel tonight. That the devil's kind of like the big bully. Or maybe it's not just the devil. Maybe it's just some strong human spirit that you've been facing. And that's been trying to hinder the moving of God for this church family. And for every individual here tonight. But oh, in silence, there is a substance of great power that is being formulated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could turn to Daniel and read from chapter number 7, or number 6, excuse me. We're not going to go through the whole story of Daniel being thrown in the den of lions, but let's go ahead and get him there. He's in the pit. He's in the den. And there are those lions around him. And they're roaring, no doubt, when they first put him in. And they roll the stone in front of the mouth of the den of lions, and everybody goes home and goes to bed for the night. And the king is tossing and turning in his bed, and he's wondering what's going on with Daniel. He is so worried. He's fretting within himself. He can't even sleep. The scripture says he rolls up early in the morning, and I can just imagine the king as he stepped down the steps of his
palace and walked down that long winding path until he came to the den where they had executed so many before in this like manner. And he stuck his ear up to the stone. He couldn't hear sound. No chewing, no chomping, no growling, no grunting. I'm sure he thought Daniel was probably dead, because Daniel wasn't scraping and clawing his fingernails into the rock walls, screaming, "Let me out of here!" He wasn't doing that. He just kept silent until the king backed away, and he opened with a loud voice, and he said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel, "Yes, O king, live forever, for my God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion." Well, why didn't you get out of there earlier? Why wouldn't you scream it in the night? Why wouldn't you telling everybody, "All right, God's done sent his angel down here and shut the mouth of the lions. Why don't you guys go ahead and let me out of here?" He didn't do that, because he knew there was something being formulated from this time of silence. I can just picture Daniel as he sat there rocking back and forth on his knees in the midst of those lions, and he just waited on the Lord. This was going to be one of the greatest testimonies to all of the world that God's word can come through. Hallelujah. Now, out of this particular scripture, there are so many times when we'd like to reach out and help folks, and we'd like to give our advice before they even ask for it. And one good thing to remember is that you can't cast out a devil unless he's revealed himself. Because if that devil is attached to the human spirit and the human will wants it there, you can pray all you want to in Jesus' name. It ain't coming out. He can cast out the devil, but God's not going to cast out a human will. He's not going to work against that. Hallelujah. So it's just sometimes when we need to remain silent. Let the enemy make the first move. Anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord for a moment, shall we? Hallelujah. Read for me there, Brother Troy, from Judges chapter 14 for just a few moments here. Yeah, start about verse 1. We'll go through this story together.
"And Samuel went down to Timnath
and
saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then said his father and his mother, said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughter of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine?'"
You know what he's doing right here? He's wanting relationship. He's describing to mom and dad, "Hey, this girl down here I like. I'd kind of like to get her for me, you know." So he feels free to talk about relationship, you know. Read on.
"And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'"
Yeah.
"But his father and his mother knew not that it was the will of the Lord."
Yeah, read on.
"That he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him."
Stop right there. "And behold, a young lion roared against him." All of trial, all of hell, just broken loose before him. He's on his way in the will of God. He's performing what he knows is best to do. He's going to talk to mom and dad about relationship and how this particular woman pleases him well. And then all of a sudden,
as he's caught up in this vineyard. A young lion roars against him. But wait just a minute. Nothing's happening while the young lion's roaring. There's no miracles of strength. There's no products or substance found. You've got to read on, read on. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily.
And
watch closely.
The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him.
Yeah.
And he rent him as he would have rent a kid.
Uh-huh.
And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother.
He kept
what
it quiet. Now, two things happened in that verse. First of all, he stood in front of his trial and he silenced it. As long as the young lion was roaring against him, he couldn't have complete victory. But he waited on the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, he rent that lion as if he would have rent a kid and left it laying by the side, but he didn't tell mom and dad about it. Read on.
And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion.
Uh-huh.
And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion.
Oh my goodness. He's found honey in the carcass of the lion. But back in verse 8, while the lion was roaring, there was no substance. While the lion was roaring, there was no evidence of victory. While the lion was roaring, there was no sweet honey on the tip of the finger to touch the tongue, to feel the glorious taste bud rise up and say, that's good. There first had to be a silencing, a quieting. He shut him up. And then he didn't tell mom and dad, hey, you know what? I've been suffering. I've been going through all kinds of trials. He didn't get up on a pedestal somewhere or top of a pinnacle somewhere and say, hey, everybody, look at the blood on my fingers and look at my ripped shirt. I've been in battle. I've been struggling. I've been fighting the young roaring lion. I've been going through hell on earth. I've been fighting all of the demons of hell. He didn't do that. He just kept his mouth shut. And when he found the shut up lion, that dead carcass, and he dipped his hand in the honey, the scripture said he took it back to mom and daddy. He took them the substance of the silence. You don't have to always tell folks what you're going through. You don't always have to stand up and say, devil's been beating me down all day long. You're just going to keep that young lion roaring. He's just going to stay right there in your way. But if you'll stay silent and let the Spirit of God work for you, it won't be long until you can dip your hand in the carcass of the lion and pull out the substance of victory, the substance of strength, the substance of power. I mean, here's mom and dad enjoying the honey, but they don't know how or where it come from. They don't know the cost. They don't know the pain that Samson just went through. They don't know the struggle. All they know is they're reaping the benefits of another man's struggle. And we're here tonight because of another man's merit, another man's death on a cross, another man who stood before Pilate and kept his mouth shut and didn't defend himself, but simply endured the pain and the death of a cross and learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It pays sometimes to just be silent and let God work the battle. Let the Spirit of God come mightily upon you in that appointed hour. Then you can work. Then you can win. And then you can walk with the substance of power and authority with God that you gained from the previous times of silence. Silence. The wind's not stirring. No rustling of the leaves. Just still, quiet. And then Elijah could hear the voice of God. Could it be right now that while we sit here in a silent moment, that God could speak to you? God could minister to you?
Oh, hallelujah. He had no more shame. Lay down your weapons. Lay down your devices. Quit fighting your own battle. Just remain silent long enough to hear the word of the Lord that will come and strengthen and encourage you. There's some of you here tonight that adversity has slapped you in the face. And people have ridiculed you to your face. And problems have mounted up before your eyes. And you've wanted to react. But I'm telling somebody, if this is just for one person tonight, I'm telling you, remain silent. Just a little while long. There's something being formed inside of you right now. There is a power. There is a strength. There is a substance in your silence that God is creating so that when the Word of God does come forth, it'll be the power of His Spirit and not just the working of your flesh. We don't walk after the flesh anymore. We walk after the Spirit. And the Spirit's not always talking. And sometimes our flesh wants to talk when it needs to be silent. And we need to listen and wait for the Word of the Lord to come. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord, shall we, for a moment. Now let me flip this over and come at you with it from another angle. There's some hurt and some pain that you've got on the inside, and you've not been able to share that with anybody. You've had to keep it silent. Because you thought in your moment of grief you might be misunderstood as a weakling, or somebody might misunderstand your motive, your direction, your desire. And so many times we just bottle it up on the inside. And we let the tears fall on the inside. And it just it compresses tighter and tighter. And the lump swells larger and larger in our throat. And we want to let it out. And we want to weep and cry. But we remain silent. We remain silent. What you needed is to hear the word of the Lord so simply from His word tonight that says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." You can lay your burden on Him tonight. Though you've been silent to your friends and those around you, you can open up your heart and you can talk to the Master. Because He too suffered rejection and had to remain silent. He too suffered great pain and kept his mouth shut. So if there's anybody you can talk about the silent suffering, it's to him. And the substance of that conversation with him will be a renewed relationship and revelation of his power and authority working in your life. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the beautiful peace of the presence of God here. I told you it'd be different tonight. But some of us now, we're reaching in our spirit right now out to God. Reaching out to the Lord so that He can minister to you right now. In Jesus' name. Let's do that, shall we? Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is fixing to speak to some people here tonight. Just be patient. Just wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Yeah. I need you. Oh, I need you. Sing it, Shelton. Just I need just the voices.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Just as you sing it, let your ear, let your mind reach out to hear the voice of the Lord.
I need thee, oh, bless.
I'm not even going to plead my cause tonight, Lord. I'm not going to stand tonight, God, and tell you about all that's wrong. I'm just putting my complete trust and faith that you know where I am. And as I sing this song, and in the silence of suffering, I know now, Jesus, you're fixing to answer. You're fixing to supply the need. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
I need.
Hallelujah. Sing it from the heart.
Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come.
I wonder who, I really feel this in the spirit tonight, who would just kind of step out of the pew where you are and just kneel on your knees right in the middle of the aisle, or if you've got room between the pew, don't turn around, but just kind of kneel between the pews and just lift up your hands to God. I feel the Spirit of the Lord directing us into worship tonight. Hallelujah. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Oh, what the Lord could do here tonight. As we wait on Him and just wait for Him to speak to us. Wait for Him, Lord God, for You to minister to us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
God's given some folks some specific direction tonight. You're going to leave this atmosphere with a direct answer from God. Just wait on the Lord and worship Him. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, open your heart in repentance to God and surrender all to Him. Let Him fill you with His Spirit tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, yalalalaya, that is.